This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. It covers a wide variety of guests and topics. If you have any comments or suggestions for the program, please contact Bridget. That's B-R-I-G-I-D, Bridget at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call us at 317-870-8400. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Dare.
Hey, Jim. Great to be with you today.
And Bridget, I'm going to kick things off here with just a short prayer that I found that really just kind of resonates with me. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of perfect peace, violence and cruelty have no part with you. May those who are at peace with one another hold fast to the goodwill that unites them, and may those who are enemies forget their hatred and be healed. Amen.
Amen. What a great prayer, yeah. You know, for as you know, we're heading into the Advent and Christmas season. And if you, we always try to do a little housekeeping here at Catholic Radio Indy, kind of the things that are happening. Tell us a little bit about maybe how we can support Catholic Radio Indy.
Well, one of the easy ways, of course, we need monthly donors and just like any other not-for-profit, but one kind of hidden way you can do it, especially this time of the year. We don't want to tell you where to shop or how to shop, but if you will be shopping online, chances are you may be shopping at Amazon. And if you are doing that, if you first go to Amazon Smile or smile.amazon, either one, if you put either one of those in a search engine, you'll get right to where you need to be. And they're simply going to ask you, what charity do you want to support? And if you enter Catholic Radio Indy, all three words, Catholic Radio Indy, I-N-D-Y, then every time you shop for anything on Amazon, Catholic Radio gets a small percentage. It doesn't cost you anything, doesn't cost us anything. You only have to do it once. You have to register just once. And then every time you shop, Catholic Radio gets a small amount. Of course, we've got a lot of listeners. And so if a lot of listeners do that, Catholic Radio gets a nice check from Amazon. So again, smile.amazon or amazon.smile.
Yeah, and I also want to mention, if you happen to be on the Facebook platform, we don't tell you where to be, but if you are there, we are there too, the official Catholic Radio Indy Facebook page. Come there. We've got close to 1,000 followers there, and you can stay in touch with us there. And also, if you happen to have a smartphone, we do have a free Catholic Radio Indy app. You can listen to us anywhere around the world. You can just download it from the Google Play Store, or if you are the App Store on the Apple platform. So just you can connect with us there, and that's great. A lot of people do that, and they listen to us in their car or when they're working out or whatever. So just a couple digital things for you to stay connected with us if you're not listening to us over the airwaves. So, all right. Well, we did mention that we are heading into the Advent season and Christmas season, and today we're joined by author Susan DiBartoli, who will talk about her new release published with Ave Maria Press called Welcoming the Christ Child with Padre Pio. Welcome to Faith in Action, Susan. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And it's great when we have, occasionally we do have people that are outside the Catholic Radio Indy metro area, listening area. You're from the New York area, so we're both on Eastern time, right?
That's correct.
So that helps with scheduling. Sometimes we have a guest from California, and then we're, you know, they either have to get up really super early or, you know, We make it work. But Susan, I want to talk a little bit about your background. You are a pilgrimage tour operator with Little Flower Tours and Travel. Tell us about that.
Well, I started Little Flower Tours and Travel back in 1990. I had been on pilgrimage with John Hafford, who was the president and started the Blue Army.
Oh.
And while I was with him on that tour, I met a woman named Auden Barnes from Cape Cod, and we were talking about the next step I wanted to make in my life. I had been in the motion picture industry. I wanted out of it. I wanted something new. And I was always loved to travel, loved pilgrimages, and she made the suggestion that I start a pilgrimage company because while I was in college, I work for a travel agent. So I said to her, well, I don't know the first thing about it. But she happened to be a promoter for Fatima Travel. So the following summer, in the summer of 1989, we went to Europe together, traveled together through Europe. She introduced me to different guides and bus companies, hotels, and so on. And I started to think, I think this could work. So I put the first pilgrimage together, and I went to Fatima in November of 1989 to make sure everything was in place. And while I was there, I had a great experience. I was kneeling in the Capitolina, and the Berlin Wall fell. And
oh my gosh.
I felt like, this is it. I'm doing the right thing. Because I always believed the message of Fatima, which was, of course, that Russia would be converted. And here was the start, and here I was starting my company. I felt it was a very good omen. And that was 32 years ago.
Now, there's a lot of folks involved in the travel industry, but probably not so many in the pilgrimage business. Is that a pretty narrow niche?
It is, but believe it or not, there are many people who are interested in pilgrimages. People who love to travel, love to see Rome and so on, but yet they want a priest with them. They want Mass every day. They're daily communicants. And so it's important to have this kind of a company.
Yeah, and I can totally say that from experience. When I, years ago, when I was a youth minister at my parish here in Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Carmel, Indiana, just north of Indianapolis, we took a pilgrimage to Italy with 18 young people and 16 adults, and it was absolutely amazing. And it is a completely different experience when you go on a pilgrimage versus you go just to travel in that country. Go ahead, Jim. You got a question?
Well, I just had a couple of questions. I mean, as far as the travel business goes, I know for travel agents as such, the internet has had a big impact on that business. And also, we're maybe on the tapering edge of COVID, and that's had a big effect on a lot of businesses. How has that affected, how have those two things affected your business?
Well, it affected me in the last, for 2.5 years, there was no travel.
Mm-hmm.
And in September, just this past September, the first group went out. But there was a good side to all of that. Because of that, I was at home, and I was asked to write this book, and that's how it came to be. So it had a good side and a bad. The bad side was, of course, I wasn't employed at the time.
Oh, my gosh, that's so funny. Well, tell us a little bit about who Padre Pio was. He is really kind of the center of your book, Welcoming the Christ Child with Padre Pio. Tell us a little bit about that. Tell us about Padre Pio.
Well, Padre Pio was a very simple, humble man. And as a little boy, the angels and Our Lady and Jesus would appear to him. And he would play with Jesus. And he had such a great, great love for him. At the age of 5, he consecrated his life to Jesus at 5 years old.
Wow.
And at the age of 15, he got permission to enter the seminary. And in 1905, while he was in the choir loft at the seminary, he was praying, and he was suddenly bilocated to Udine, Italy, to the garden of the Rizzini home, where Our Lady was. And there was Mr. Rizzini, Giovanni Rizzini, was dying, and his wife came out to quiet the dogs who were barking. She went into labor. She was pregnant. She went into labor. And Our Lady was at this miracle. Our Lady brought him there. And she entrusts this unborn child, Giovanni Rizzini, to Padre Pio. Well, he wasn't Padre. He was a brother at the time. He was only 18 years old, and he couldn't imagine what this was all about. How could I possibly take care of this child? Over the next 63 years, this miracle would play out. He would witness her birth, and she would witness his death. In September 20th of 1918, he received the stigmata, and September 23rd of 1968, he died, and the stigmata disappeared.
We're talking with Susan DeBartoli. She is a Pilgrims Tour operator with Little Flower Tours and Travel, and she's also an author of a new book called Welcoming the Christ Child with Padre Pio. It's an Advent reflection book.
Now, Susan, you just mentioned the stigmata, and most Catholics, I think, would be familiar with what that is, but a lot of our listeners are non-Catholic, and some of them are new Catholics. Can you explain what stigmata is?
The stigmata are the five wounds of Christ, the passion of Christ. Padre Pio suffered this passion every day of his life. He bore those wounds. During the Mass, his Masses were very long. They would go on sometimes for 3 hours, and his wounds would bleed. And it was a great honor for him to have this stigmata, to share it with our Lord, to suffer as our Lord did.
Well, I'm curious, how did you happen to get interested in Padre Pio and then decide to have him as kind of the focal point of this Advent reflection booklet that you've put together?
Well, I think that I always knew about him. He was always somewhere in my mind. I would probably say around the time I was a teenager, it came to light. But as we know, after World War II, many soldiers came back from Italy and talked about the holy man they met on the mountain in San Giovanni Rotondo. And many of these men, they were in the Air Force. They were stationed in Cerignola. And one man in particular, Ray Ewan, was stationed there, and he served with Padre Pio he served Mass with Padre Pio 7 times. I got to know Ray in 1999 when he came on pilgrimage with me for the beatification of Padre Pio, and again in September 2002 when he came on pilgrimage with me. And Ray told me so many stories about Padre Pio, about experiencing him firsthand. And so he really was the inspiration for the book. I start the book with him, and he's very much a part of it. And the person who actually told me to write the book, I'm on the board of directors of the Padre Pio Foundation of America, and the director of the foundation came to me, Julie Fitzritter, and said, "You're doing nothing, it's COVID. Write a book about Padre Pio and Advent. Nobody ever writes about Advent." I said, "Well, okay, I'll think about it." And I thought about it. A month later, the book was finished. So it was something that it was just everything, as I said before, just fell in place. And that's how I came to write the book. And 1995, though, was the first time I actually brought a group to San Giovanni Rotondo.
This is a great story, and when we come back, we need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into the book and talk a little bit about the format and what our listeners will get when they use it to reflect during Advent. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
The first radio station signed on back in the 1930s, and wow, people could get news without having to wait for the next day's newspaper and hear great entertainment right in their living rooms. But then in the late 40s, television came along. And since it could add visual content, well, that would probably kill off radio. But it didn't. In the 70s, satellite radio, 8-track tapes and cassettes, and the Walkman came along. Surely one of these would kill off radio. But they didn't. Now there's streaming on computers, podcasts, Alexa, and smartphones that put the world at your fingertips. And you know what? Radio is still here. In fact, a recent survey of people aged 18 and up showed that on a monthly basis, radio reached more people than television, including time-shifted TV. And for audio programming, more people than smartphones, PC, Alexa, or tablets. When you support Catholic Radio Indy, you're supporting a powerful tool that has the potential to reach over 1 million people every day with the message of salvation. If you're one of our donors, thank you very much. If you haven't joined our family of donors yet, today would be a good day to do that. Just go to CatholicRadioIndy.org and click on the donate button. That's CatholicRadioIndy.org. And thank you for your support.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley and I are sitting in the studio together, and we are talking with our guest, Susan DeBartoli. She is a pilgrim tour operator with Little Flower Tours and Travel, and we're talking about her newest book. It is Welcoming the Christ Child with Padre Pio. And we talked off air on the break just a little bit about, Padre Pio might be more associated with, his stigmata or, his walk to Calvary. But in this book, it's really more about him in Bethlehem or walking with the Christ child. Talk about that difference and how you kind of emphasize that in the book. It's a different type of Padre Pio, I guess. Maybe a different side of him.
Yes, it is. It is a different side of him, because when we think of Padre Pio, of course, we think of the stigmata and automatically we'll follow him to Calvary, and we think of looking at his face, how stern it seems to look. He's not stern. He's not angry. He's in pain from the stigmata.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. But this book is about following him to Bethlehem, because he had no greater love than the child Jesus. And he carried him in his arms many times. The Capuchins at his monastery would say at night he'd walk through the halls all aglow, and the child Jesus was in his arms. Well, how amazing for those Capuchins to see it, but how amazing that this is definitely the person we should follow to Bethlehem. Because Advent is the time to draw closer to the Christ child, to prepare for his coming. And that's what this book is about. This book is about arriving at Bethlehem with Padre Pio, fulfilling all that is happening along the way.
Now, when you mention book, I think people, think, well, a book you sit down and read cover to cover. Other books are meant to be more day-at-a-time books. Tell us about this particular book.
Okay, well, this book was written to be used during Advent, but it doesn't necessarily have to be used that way. So for Advent, you would use it as a book to reflect on the time of the year it is. Each day, you read a story, you read a miracle, you reflect, and you say a prayer. But you could read it as you would read a novel. You could read it all the way through, because it's an amazing story of an amazing man. There are 27 miracles in there.
Wow.
But what makes those miracles important is the simplicity of the man, and that's why it happened.
Well, I think something that you mentioned that's really interesting, and occasionally authors will have the opportunity to meet someone who actually knew the saint. Not everybody has that advantage, because saints have died, been gone a long time, and you only can learn or know them by either their writings or the writings of other people that lived at that time. But you actually met the person that had spent time with him.
Yes.
That's, I'm sure, brought so many rich and new stories that have never been captured, that I'm sure that are in this book.
Yes. And I start the book by saying something that's really important here. I mentioned that we went on beatification and the canonization together. After the canonization, we went to San Giovanni Rotondo. And as I said, Ray Ewing actually served Mass there with Padre Pio. And we asked permission, Julie Fitzriddle was with me, we asked permission for him to spend some private time in the chapel of the old church where he served Mass with Padre Pio. And he was there with his, Ray Ewing was there with his two grandsons, Julie, myself, and another girl. And we very quietly, he just went up to this altar, put his hand on the altar, and he was praying. And we were just watching him. And when he walked off the altar, like 20 minutes later, I said, Ray, what are you thinking? And he said, I'm thinking the next time I see Padre Pio will be in heaven. I have no doubt he was waiting for him when he got there. But the amazing thing, Ray was such a holy man, such a good man. And he would tell me stories about Padre Pio that were totally amazing. The story of the men who were flying their planes over San Giovanni, ready to drop bombs on it, because they were going to bomb it because they heard there were German munition depots there. And suddenly this monk appears in the sky, the planes turn around, the the bombs fall off into, and nobody's doing anything. This is just happening. The bombs are falling off into the woods, and they're going back to the base. So he told, this is one of the amazing stories that he told me, and the general who was in charge of this whole mission doesn't know what's going on. And somebody said, there's a holy man who lives on the mountain. We're sure this monk has something to do with it. So these are the type of stories that Ray told me. Some really, really amazing stories. I'd say at least a dozen of the stories in the book were told to me by Ray.
So if you happen to be a Padre Pio fan, a St. Padre Pio fan, then this is definitely going to be a book that takes you way past, you know, Advent. I did notice in the book that you do have a chronology in the beginning of the book. You want to talk a little bit about that? About
these are all the different events in Padre Pio's life. And they're, you know, they tell of when he received the sacrament, when he first had the desire to become a priest. It's all these things in his life. It's the miracles. It's the becoming, being beatified. His beatification, his canonization is in there. Giovanni Rizzani, who I spoke about, Giovanna Rizzani, actually is one of the people who was instrumental in making him a saint. Her story with Padre Pio was the story that so closely matched when they unsealed Padre Pio's records of what happened in Udine. They saw the stories were similar. No one knew that was his first bilocation. No one knew anything about that. That's in there.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, you know, that, you know, Padre Pio had lots of miracles. He did lots of miracles. He was, you know, involved in lots of healings, which, you know, a lot of people need healing and hope and encouragement in their daily lives. And then, you know, the bilocutions, I mean, for our non-Catholic audience, that's where you are actually in two places at once. It's a certain type of miracle where you're in two places at once. I mean, Catholics joke, I wish I could, Jim and I joke about this.
Yeah, right.
You know, I wish I could be, you know, at this event while I'm doing this, you know, too. You know, we always joke, I want the miracle of bilocution. I want to ask you a personal question about your faith and how writing this book has really impacted you, because I'm sure you had some time to pray and reflect, and you know, as you went through all these writings and just these stories that you've had, like, what, well, how was writing this book and being, I guess, journeying with Padre Pio increased your faith or impacted your faith?
Well, I've always had great faith. Let me start with that. And as I mentioned, Fatima in the beginning. Okay, and going there. I need to mention an event that happened there. When I was in the Chapel of Adoration, I felt something in my heart. I heard a voice say, take care of your parents and then you'll have what you want. And when I went back home, I found out that my father had Alzheimer's. And for the next 20 years, I took care of my parents. And then when they were gone, I said, I thought about it, and I said, what is this? What is the Lord asking me? What is it that I'm supposed to do? And I finally figured out what it was he was telling me. He wanted me to go back to writing, and he wanted me to write this book. And it's been the greatest experience for me.
You know, it's, you know, really Advent and life is really a journey, you know? And this looks like a really great resource to, you know, help people, you know, during this Advent season and even into Christmas. What do you hope people take away from this as they read it and journey with Padre Pio with the Christ Child?
What I hope for them to take away is the simplicity of the man, the humble man, and to understand that the miracles are fine, but that's really not what it's about. What it's about is the Christ Child. He's leading us somewhere. If you want a miracle, you could sit in your living room and pray to the Lord for that miracle. You don't need that. You don't need all of that. But you do need to follow the right path. And the right path is this path to Bethlehem, where we're sharing our time exclusively with the Child Jesus, and Padre Pio is showing us how to do it.
Now, Susan, what is the exact title of the book, and where can people get the book?
The book is Welcoming the Christ Child with Padre Pio. It's available at Ave Maria Press, Amazon, and Barnes & Noble. And other places also, I understand.
And we do have a couple minutes left, and I want to ask you, where is your next pilgrimage going to be?
My next pilgrimage is World Youth Day.
Oh, and where is that this year, or coming up?
It's in Lisbon this year. Why in Lisbon and not Fatima? I haven't figured that out yet, but it will combine both. We'll be in Fatima for 6 days and then in Lisbon for a week with kids.
And Susan, I'm sure you've done lots of different pilgrimages. What is the most unusual place that you've been, that people wouldn't expect you to go on a pilgrimage?
Well, that's a little difficult. I would have to say Akita, Japan, where Our Lady appeared to Sister Sasagawa. Sister Sasagawa had a wound in her right hand, and then we see Our Lady with a wound in her left hand. It's an amazing miracle.
Well, for our listeners, you have been listening to our guest, Susan DeBartoli. She is a pilgrimage tour operator with Little Flower Tours and Travel. Can you give us the website for that?
Yes, littleflowerpilgrimages.com.
And then we've also been talking about Welcoming the Christ Child with Padre Pio. It's an Advent reflection booklet. But again, Susan said you can really use it, read it as a novel all year long to grow in your faith. Give us how we can get a copy of that as well.
At Ave Maria Press, Amazon, or Barnes & Noble.
Well, Susan, it's been a delight to have you as our guest today here on Faith in Action here in the Catholic Radio Indy Metro area. Thanks so much for being our guest, and we hope that you have a wonderful Advent.
Thank you. You too.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. This program and all Faith in Action programs can be heard or downloaded as podcasts from CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a comment or suggestion for guests or topics for the program, please contact Bridget. That's B-R-I-G-I-D. Bridget@CatholicRadioIndy.org or call us at 317-870-8400. This program has been pre-recorded.